to preach on the unity of the brethren. The unity of the brethren. She loves it because she's not preaching this morning. Yvette will be preaching next week. The power of unity. Psalm 133 verse 1. Psalm 133 verse 1. Who understands this power in unity? Oh, I say that again. Who understands this power in unity? Who believes if the church is walking in unity, there's power? Who believes when a husband and wife are walking in unity, there's power? Oh. Who believes that? Does unity mean I have to agree with everything someone says? Not at all. Not at all. But for the cause of the kingdom, I lay down. So it is raised up. Amen. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in. It is like the precious oil upon the head. It is like what? The precious oil. I want you to get a picture in your mind of the anointing oil flowing down Aaron, the high priest. Also, the King David and all the other kings. Kings and priests were anointed by God. Not just the kings and the priests, but also the instruments that served in the house. They were all anointed by God. Amen? And so, it was running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of the garments. In other words, there wasn't a limitation on the oil. I want to tell you something this morning. There is no limitation of the things of the Spirit. His Spirit is what? Without measure. Gotcha. First time I've heard my wife wrong. Oh, it's without you. It's something without you. Alright, we'll talk about it later. Unity. Come on. Back me up. Running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments is like the dew of Hermon. Hermon literally is a mountain. That's all it means. It's a mountain place. Right? What happens in the dew of Hermon? It's actually in the place of Zion. The mountain of Hermon would be covered with ice, covered with snow, but also it was always covered with, especially in winter, with dew. In other words, the clouds. And if you're from Europe or you've been in England sometimes, and you can walk through the mornings, and it's not raining, but when you get to where you're going, you're wet. You're just saturated. Your clothes are wet because there's a dew, there's a mist in the air. And no matter what you do, you can't get away from it. And that's exactly what was happening on the Mount Hermon. Right? There's a dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Life forevermore. What did God do? He commanded what? Life forevermore. There's a command of blessedness that God wants to live in this life. Forevermore. There's something God wants to impart, there's something God wants to do in us to bring us into to give us life and life more abundantly. Who wants to walk in abundance of life? And that doesn't mean abundance of things. It doesn't mean abundance of things necessarily. Those things are good. I enjoy things. I like a computer on a regular basis. I like my iPads. I like my stuff. I like my little gimmicks. I like that stuff. But that's not what life's all about, right? Life of the Spirit is talking about, which is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that sort of lifestyle. No matter what's happening, I'm walking in life. Turn with me to Matthew 12, verse 25. It says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Every city or what? Jesus makes it so personal. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. God's not into divisiveness, but He will shape us and form us and fashion us until the agreement about the kingdom is established in each one's house. The principles of kingdom, the principles of kingdom truth, the principles of kingdom living are established in everyone's household. So therefore, it's me submitting to the kingdom principles, even though I think I'm right, and my wife is sometimes wrong, and she sometimes thinks I'm wrong and she is right. May I say this morning, God's not interested in your right or wrong. He couldn't give a flip about your right and wrong. What God's interested in about is your character. How you're treating that person, how you're talking to that person, how you're acting and how you're living. He can deal with right and wrong. You can be dead right and dead wrong at the same time. It's not a very nice word, that dead right, is it? You can be right and wrong at the same time. You can be right in principle, but wrong in attitude. And God's not interested in your attitude. Are you about your rightness or your wrongness? He couldn't give two hoots about that, actually. He's interested in your character. Amen? John 12, verse 24 to 26 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces what? What has to happen to the grain of wheat? It's got to what? It's got to die. If it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will what? And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where did Jesus go? He went to a cross. He went to a cross. And from the cross he got resurrection life. Amen? Follow me, and where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will what? When you go to a fruit tree, where's the seed? It's in the fruit. It's in the fruit. And if you want to look at a fruit tree, let's look at a fruit tree. The fruit has to what? Ripen. Mature. Guess what God's doing with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Ripening it. Maturing it. Because it's carrying, the vessel's carrying a what? A seed. You and I are carrying seed life. And so he wants the fruit to mature. He wants the fruit to eventually mature to such a point that it does what? Falls off the tree and dies. So what is in the fruit can bring forth life. Amen? So in the whole process of the kingdom of God, it's not about how well I'm living, it's how well you're dying. How well you're dying. Because God will mature the fruit, not to put, well, he does promote you, but not to exalt the fruit, but to get the seed out of the fruit. Amen? Because he wants to bring what in your life? Multiplication. Unless the seed falls, the grain falls in the ground and dies, it cannot bear much seed or fruit. So the challenge in all, even the life groups, will be not to so much boost you up, but to give you the skill and the wisdom and the comfort and the encouragement to say, what you're going through, it's okay. God will look after you. God will sort it out. And when you start dying to that thing in you, it'll bear much fruit. Unity is like the precious oil. And if you look at Aaron's the high priest. He's the type of Christ. Who's their head? Christ is their head. The oil flows from the head, who is Christ. That same anointing that was on him is constantly flowing down to the body, covering the body. Right? And there's no limitation of the outpouring. There's a constant flow of the oil on Aaron's head, down his beard, down his garment, to the edge of his garments, dripping, dripping down. This unity of the brethren is like that same oil. The same sort of oil. When you refuse to allow disunity to come in your marriage, disunity with your brethren, disunity of the house of God, it releases the fragrance of the oil that's upon Christ to the body. So when people see Christ, I see the body walking in the unity of the brethren, what happens is a release of the fragrance of the Spirit. Because the oil represents what? The Holy Ghost. There's a fragrance released in the Spirit that changes the atmosphere. Amen? All the perfumery of the oil was all sweet-smelling. It changes the fragrance of the atmosphere. So when people walk in your house, and there's unity in the house, It changes the atmosphere. I have a granny flat. My granny flat used to be my prayer place. It was going to be my woodwork shop. I always wanted a woodwork shop. Just God didn't want me to have a woodwork shop. So I used to walk around in my little granny flat and I'd pray. And people used to come and see me when they had an appointment and they'd say, "You can feel something in here." And it was the fragrance of Christ and the intimacy of Christ through my prayer life. So when even the fragrance of the oil through unity, it's when we have, may I say this? Sometimes I think communion has become too religious. We've lost the meaning. Communion is not just remembering what Christ has done. It's also remembering that I'm part of Him. And that this oil is not just it's a representation of His body and His life flowing on my body, my life. I'm a member of Him. Therefore, when I take communion, I'm saying, "Jesus, I'm trying to walk as You walk. I'm trying to talk as You talk. I'm trying to live as You live. And I'm partaking of You." It's not just thank You for the cross, which we do and which we should, but it's also acknowledging that I'm in communion with Him. And that God, I'm saying to the world by taking communion that I'm trying to be one with You. That's what communion means to me. It's more than just saying, "Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross." I'm saying, "Thank You, Jesus, that You're living in me." Amen? So this oil that God wants to flow in us changes the fragrance of your atmosphere that you're living in. It doesn't mean I have to agree with everything my wife says. No. But it does mean this. I establish kingdom principles in my house that even my knee must bow to. And my wife's knee must bow to. And my children's knee should bow to. That His authority is absolute, His word is absolutely essential to guide and lead my house wherever He wants it to be. And in that essence, in that fragrance, when I come to the house of God, I'm offering up a sacrifice. Guess what's happening? There's a fresh aroma in the house. And when we come together as a corporate body and we refuse to allow division, hurt, unforgiveness, all that stuff that robs us of the fragrance. May I say this? I'm going to just throw it out there. You and I, if we hold things against another, stops the flow of the oil. And you will live on the after effects of what was. And you've lost your joy, your peace. And you say, "Oh," and that's why a lot of you hear a lot of people say, "I remember the good old days." I'm going to burst your bubble. They were good, but they're old. You have the opportunity to change the fragrance of your house today. And tomorrow, and the next day, and establish something in the spirit today. Amen? So this oil that He wants to release upon the church, when He sees unity, when He sees unity in the house, it releases a fragrance to Christ. And there's an outpouring. With the oil, there's not just a fragrance happening, there's an equipping happening. Because I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Unity is not friendship. Unity is a bond of love. I'm going to say that again. Unity is not a friendship. Unity is a bond of love. Why do you think Jesus replicates the church after family? Brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. That's what He says, doesn't He? And friendship, you can connect really well with a friend. But some friends will come and some friends will go. But if you're blood, if I'm connected to blood, they can come and go, but they can always come back. Is that the truth? That's the truth. Sometimes you get on with your brother, sometimes you won't. I had a brother who lived in England for 22 years. Used to ring up now and then. You see, when I go to England, I'd hook up with him, have some time with him, but that treating 2 years is nothing. Nothing. Because why? We're brothers. And, you know, there's a prophecy come out about we're going into a warfare. Anyone seen the Band of Brothers? It's a movie. All these young men in World War II were gathered together, all from different parts of society, different perspectives of life, different value systems. But they had one thing in common, that when they went into war and battle, they needed that person next to them to cover their back. In fact, they relied on them with their life to cover their back. And if you talk to these sort of men that went through trials of life, I mean, I'm talking about death and life, they would say things like, we were so close. It's not a friendship. It's, I love him like a brother. Why? Because I entrust my life with him. And that's exactly what the army of God should be. It's not a friendship. It's when I'm in battle that I know you're standing next to me. When I'm in battle, I can trust you with my life. I'm not worried about your personality so much. We mightn't see eye to eye personality-wise, but you know what? When the rubber hits the road and I need someone to cover my back, you'll be there. Amen? And so often we allow personalities and friendship, don't get me wrong, we can all be friends as well, but I'm talking about something deeper than friendship. I'm talking about a love that covers, a love that not just covers a multitude of sins, in fact it says all sins, not just a love that covers all sins, but a love that believes for them. A love that refuses to hold resentment. A love that refuses to hold a grudge. A love that refuses to allow unforgiveness to harbour in my heart. A love of the Spirit. A love of Christ. It's not something you can conjure up. It's not something we can make happen. It's something that is birthed in the Spirit. Something that is birthed by the Spirit. And this is not just for... Am I still on? This is not just for church. This is not just for church. This is for your marriage. This is for your house. I need to be covering my wife. I need to be washing her with the water of the Word when she's weak. And when I'm weak, guess what she should be doing? Washing me with the water of the Word. Lifting me up. Covering my back. Not exposing me, not demeaning me, not belittling me. Lifting me up. It releases a fragrance in your house and a fragrance in your life of the oil flowing. That's the unity I believe that God commands a blessing with. It's not by performance and it's not by giftings and it's not by position. Unity. Unity. The clouds dispense a dew that is saturating, penetrating, soaking. And everything that was on Mount Hermon didn't just get surface dew. It was so thick and heavy, it permeated down into the root system. Cover the thing. Can you imagine when we're walking in that place with him, that the fragrance of your house, you don't have to say a word. They can't help but be covered by what's in your house. They know something's happening. They just know it. Amen? And it's the Holy Ghost bearing witness of the fruitfulness of your life. So when we say, walk in the Spirit, it's not, oh, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, no, no. What we're saying is, culture is presence. And people can't but help is be encompassed with what God is developing in your family, in your home, in our church. We don't have to convict people of sin. The Holy Ghost will do it for you. You don't have to people where they're going wrong. The Holy Ghost does that for you. You don't have to prove anyone wrong. That's not my job. My job is to love them, to keep the unity of the brethren in the bond of perfect peace. Amen? There's a peace with unity. There's such a peace that when the home is peaceful, you know there's unity. I don't have to say, oh God, give me the fruitfulness of peace. Love, joy, peace. I want the peace. I want the peace. I want the peace. Ah, you stupid thing. Why have you done this? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, but God, give me the peace. Give me the peace. Oh, hallelujah. That's not the peace God's talking about. You're going to get a piece of this. He's talking about an inner peace that no man can rob you of. And no situation can rob you of. Activation, I believe, for this year is the maturing the saints to such a point where they know when they walk out of here, they're walking with their God. They're walking in the power and the essence of their God. So no matter what happens to this, and what happens to this, or what happens to someone next to me, I keep on walking. I keep on walking. Activated to such a point that my life, I don't have to have a light shining on me. I don't have to have a laser beam and my light, name and lights. I just have to be who I am. I just have to be who I am. And guess what? Jesus is shining your star in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm cutting a bit short, but that's okay. So when we come together as a church, we're to be co-laborers with Him. He doesn't say co-loiterers. You know what I mean by that? Co-loiterers? Jesus gives a perfect example of that. And He says to one young man, go in my field, work and I will pay you what you're due. So he went. And the ninth hour, he sees someone loitering around the square. He says, why are you doing something? Get in my field and I'll give you what you duly deserve. 12th hour, he goes to pay them all. So the guys that only worked an hour or 2 hours, they got a denarii. The guys that worked 12 hours are going like this. If they get a denarii for 1 hour, I'm going to get 12 denarii. I'm going to get 12 times what they got. And when he only gives them one, they were so indignant. They threw a stack. They chucked a hissy fit. He says, didn't we agree to what? I've only given you what we agree with. Whatever's mine to give, it's mine to give. But the essence of the story was there was people loitering when the harvest was due. And the master had to leave the harvest to go and seek the laborers that should have been there in the morning so he could hire. God doesn't need loiterers. He needs co-laborers. What for? His kingdom come. There's a harvest that is waiting to be reaped. I believe 2017 through the life groups, you're going to be activated for harvest. Activated for harvest. Youth, children, every area of our church. Its emphasis is on thy kingdom. That will command us and that will demand from us unity. At all costs, unity. At all costs. So the fragrance can be released, not just here, in your house, with your children. Witness to the world. Amen. That activating, maturing, and effective, and releasing the fragrance of God, so the army of God will arise as a band of brothers. A band of brothers. I'm talking about people that were in the world in an army. How much more so should the army of God? Amen? Should we stand this morning? Yeah. I didn't forget. I left it on purpose. God's saying to His body, not just here, but worldwide. He's raising up an army, raising up a standard, getting ready for war. And I'm not saying you have to... When I was a young Christian, this is how I was prepared for war. In the name of God, I rebuke you there, and I curse that, and I pull down this. And the louder you got, the more powerful you were. And so I had a good voice. But that is not what the kingdom's talking about. The kingdom of God is talking about when you walk in the authority and the power of the Spirit, is that Spirit is going before you, an atmosphere is changing around you, and your influence of the Spirit changes your world. Amen? There's times to curse and cast out demons, of course there is. But I'll be honest with you, 99% of the fight that Christians fight demons with aren't demons. It's your flesh. It's your own flesh. Amen? I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the truth. One lady said to me, she goes, I had a real battle last night, the devil came in. I was just fighting him all night. I said, well, thank God for that. I had a good night's sleep. He can only be at one place at one time. He's not omnipresent. If he's fighting you, he's leaving me alone. I can rest in that. Amen? But if there's two devils, one of us is lying. There's not two devils. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want activation. And he said quite a profound statement. 1% of your time in the fortnight to give to God. 1%. 1%. That's not a lot, is it? I think we give more percentage to TV. Or the Eagles. Or Freeland and Dockers. Or the Broncos. Or whatever your thing is. The kingdom of God is all about putting an order in our life. The Holy Ghost will not do that. The Holy Ghost will encourage you to bring order to your life. But He will not make you do it. He won't make you do it. He won't make you do it. He'll put everything in your place and say, this is what it's worth. Choose you this day. Amen. I pray to God we endeavor to make life group part of our lifestyle. Amen. It will change your life and equip you. I believe that. But this morning we can say to God, God, I choose this day to be activated. It'll release a fragrance, not just in church, but in my house, in my marriage, with my kids. I choose this day. Lord, I hear the cost. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground, then can't bear much fruit. You're preparing the fruit in my life, not for me to be seen, but for me to die. Amen. If you want that more, I'm not going to pray for people. This is between you and the Holy Ghost. But if you want that more, say, God, activate me to be what I need to be. Lord, I'm going to put myself in that position to be trained, put in that position to be accountable. That's you this morning. You just raise your hands before the Lord. Your kingdom come, Jesus. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will. Lord, I want to walk in the unity of the brethren. I want that fragrance released in my spirit, in my life. I want it to affect my community. I want it to affect my family. I want it to affect my children. I want it to affect my marriage. Lord, if there's any wrong smell in my house, help me get rid of it. Help me get rid of it. Unforgiveness is a foul smell. Father, we thank you this morning. You hear our heart. God, we want to say this morning, activate us in the things of your kingdom. That we decree that your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, that we might be effective co-laborers with you in this hour that we're living in. To see, Father, lives touched, transformed and changed. Lives, Father, born again. Lord, that we would see a harvest in this hour that, Lord, you're preparing. That, God, that we won't be loitering around, but, Lord, we'll be ready and willing to go into harvest fields for the kingdom's sake. We thank you for the equipping of your saints this morning in the name of Jesus with fresh mindsets. Lord, fresh mindsets in Jesus' name. That God, 2017 will not just be a year, Father, of activation, but will be a year of transformation. That God, a maturing of the saints that releases, Father, the fragrance of your Spirit. We receive that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for what you're about to do and going to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Part of that activation this morning is giving up your tithes and your offerings. Faithfulness has a fragrance all by itself. So let's get ready for that, please. Those responsible to take up that offering when they just come forward, we're just going to bless it this morning. Just bring them forward. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Father. Just thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you decree there'll be no lack in your house. That, Lord, you said you would never let your children beg for bread. So, Father, this morning we thank you, Father, what you're going to do. Father, we thank you to bless the giver this morning. Lord, as part of our sacrifice to you, we give unto you. And so, Lord, we say, multiply the seed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you as you give this morning. Praise the Lord. Are you excited? I'm very excited. Hallelujah. God is good. We're going to see some bones to the structure. Amen. And these bones shall live. Glory to God. And a mighty army shall arise. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a good week. This best week. A great week. In Jesus' name. Amen.